This week I had the opportunity to go over to Kalamazoo Valley Community College and join with my friend Imam Hafiz Akbar from the Kalamazoo Islamic Center. And Hafiz and I presented to a group of students and faculty about Christianity and Islam. And I had a great time, really enjoyed that. Imam Hafiz is one of my favorites. He's wonderful. We work well and play well off of each other when we do these kinds of things. And so we both had a really good time. One of the things that I noticed that happens in these kinds of presentations is that everybody's very excited to hear from the imam, to learn a little something about Islam. And then when the Christian representative gets ready to speak, everyone's eyes sort of glaze over a little bit. Because people think they know what Christianity is all about. And the reality is that what they know usually is a caricature of Christianity that they've gotten through the media. So I said to the group, I said that Christianity is all about our participation in the nature of God. And that got startled looks and eyes widened a little and people leaned in a little more to pay attention because that was not what they expected to hear from me. But I told them that the simple fact is that Imam Hafiz and Islam and Christianity and I agree that there is one God. And that because there is one God, everything is in God. God holds and contains everything. And therefore, things that are opposite to us are not opposite to God. And that our job as Christians is to live and work in the world in such a way that we show the world that it's not broken into pieces, but that it's held in love. That we perceive the world as broken into pieces and opposites and conflicts and the like, but that the world is actually held in love. And so one of the ways that we see that is in the two natures of Christ, who is both divine and human. Because we are divine and human. Made by God in the image of God, given the gift of the Holy Spirit, we may not live divine and human as perfectly as Christ did, but we are divine and human. And so the challenge is to hold those two realities together. Same thing with the Trinity. God is both community and one. And we believe that we live and exist in perfect community with God, that that's our goal and the aim. We don't always do it right. And that when we are perfectly united with God, we will also be perfectly who we are. That the individuality is not lost in the communion. And so again, the one and the many are held together in the one God. And so the challenge is for us to live and work like we really believe that, like we know that that is the true nature of things, that all is held together in God. And our scriptures give us a lot of images of things being held together. I thought about that this week when I read the phrase, repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in all the world. And it occurred to me that we have a hard time doing that. We don't hold those two things together very well. There are a lot of people, like the people I grew up with, that preach repentance. You're a sinner. You're a miserable sinner. You're no good. You've never been any good. You never will be any good. You're bad. You're wrong. You're bad. You're wrong. That's what I grew up with. Where's the good news in that? Right? There's some people who are busy preaching about the need for repentance and only the need for repentance. But there are others who are preaching only about the forgiveness and not the repentance, right? That you're loved, everything is wonderful, no worries, God is your personal attendant, Jesus is your best friend, everything's okay. That's the other extreme. But the challenge is to hold them together, to recognize our Anglican ancestors who started the evangelical movement understood this. They were not busily telling everyone how bad and wrong they are. They were busily saying is, look, we all do it wrong. We all mess it up. And those things become a burden. And Christ, in his great forgiveness, can help you let go of that burden. You can't let go of the burden until you recognize that it's there. When you recognize that it's there, if you want, you can give it to Jesus. It's a powerful move. It's a powerful statement. It holds together repentance and forgiveness. And I often think this action of holding together things that seem like opposites to us is precisely how we live the faith and precisely how we proclaim the faith and how we minister to the world is by holding things together that the world perceives as opposites. In the gospel today, Jesus shows up and he says, look at my hands and my feet. And there's two ways to interpret this. The traditional way has always been that of stigmata reference. Look at the holes in my hand, the holes in my feet. I'm not a ghost. It's me, the one who was crucified. Perfectly fine reading. We also know that in the first century, one of the ways to verify that someone was not a ghost was to feel their hands and their feet. Precisely because in your hands it's easiest, and in your toes it's easiest to feel the bones. And it was believed that ghosts didn't have bones. That's why Jesus says in the text, a ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have. And then he eats, and interestingly enough, this is the one I find really interesting, is that it was also believed in the first century that teeth were a good way to verify that somebody was real and not a ghost. Ghosts didn't have teeth? I'm not sure what that is, but that was the thing, right? You know? So either way that you read the text, though, the idea is he is the one who died and is alive. And the incredible promise in that text is, and the proclamation is that even life and death itself gets held together in God. And nothing gets lost. And that understanding is what throughout the centuries has given Christ's followers courage. It's given them power. In the Acts reading that we heard today, Peter and John heal a lame man in the most public of places in the temple. And people are staring at them in shock and awe and everything else. And Peter has to say, don't look at us like we did this. This is all about who God is. When's the last time we did something that left the community in shock, that left the community in awe? Our world is full of people who would say that there are some people who are throwaway people. There are some people you have to discard, some people you have to toss out. That God doesn't hold everything together. That some people are left out of God's grasp of love. Our ancestors so perfectly believed that God holds all of it together, that they acted like it. We do that around here. We do it a lot. We have a lot of ministries that do that. But have we done it so that the community knows that containing love of God? We have to ask ourselves that question, challenge ourselves to go further with our gifts and our desire to be of service in that way. It's important to do that. It's important to do that. It strikes me that we Episcopalians love the part of our baptismal covenant that says, strive for justice and peace among all people and respect the dignity of every human being. We rightly are proud that that's part of our baptismal covenant. And we love the idea of justice and peace and respecting the dignity of every human being. And that's great, and I have no problem with that. And how often do we focus on the word strive? How often do we look at that little word? Because the promise is to strive for justice and peace. How often do we strive? How often do we strive to show the world that everything is in God? How often do we strive to show the world that everything is held by God? How often do we strive to show the world that there are no throwaway people? That nobody is supposed to be discarded or discounted or counted as less? There's one God, and everything is in God, including life and death itself. That should give us courage. And maybe the challenge for us is to do a little more striving.